Good morning, everyone. Lovely day today, isn't it? Once again this year, Capital Link discussing on infrastructure this year. I'm Yannis Kouniotis. I'm heading the project finance and development practice at Lambadarios. And I have this lovely panel of experts in all fields related to infra. Thank you very much, Nico. Thank you very much, Olga, for the lovely invitation. Once again, fantastic. Conference room, fantastic conference in general. And I go straight to the point since time is of essence. Greece, having left the financial crisis behind, is experiencing a boom in infrastructure investments. In fact, the boom is multidimensional with major projects recently completed or close to completion in the energy sectors, in the transport sectors, specifically motorways, railways, as well as in the areas of waste management and tourism. Specifically, the developments in the transport sector are also unprecedented, with motorway concessions playing a major role. It was just a few months ago that we concluded the contract on Attica motorway. Two comments on that. First time ever in Greece, smooth handover from a previous concession to new one, and largest ticket price ever paid by an investor to the Greek state. But this is just one example, which give us the signal that we can only be optimistic for the future of infrastructure projects in Greece. And I will go now straight to our panel of experts, commencing with Penelope Lazaridou. Miss Penelope Lazaridou, the General Financial Manager, Executive Board Director, and Board Member of Yekterna. Should I better say Poppy? Poppy. Over the past decade, Greece allocated a substantial part of its infrastructure budget to emblematic transportation projects like North Crete Access, E65, Castelli Airport. On another front, environmental issues become more and more relevant, reserving a top position in the current economic and political agenda. What are the main thematic areas for Greece's infrastructure budget over the next decade? And interestingly, how can it address challenges for higher awareness and practical deliverables towards environmental and climate change issues? The floor is yours, Penelope.
Thank you very much again for this very interesting question. Yeah, okay, no problem. Okay, perfect. First of all, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to wish to all of you health, prosperity, and peace. Back to our panel question and discussion now. I would propose to start with a flashback of the landmark infrastructure project in our country, and then I will try to visualize which is the landscape of infrastructure in our country for the next decade. Indeed, over the past decade, Greece focused also in transportation infrastructure, recording a significant leap of progress and laying the foundation for a very important current economic growth and regional development. Some of these projects include the Holy Grail of privatization, as you mentioned, that is the concession of Attiki Odos to Yekterna, with the handover completed in record time. The long due project of Thessaloniki Metro, recently inaugurated by the Prime Minister, the Yekterna concession, 700 kilometers of Ionia Odos and E65, transforming transportation. Why? Because they improve accessibility, they have improved mobility, and because they support economic growth in Western Greece and Central Greece. The Athens Metro Line 3, that changing life of millions of people living and visiting Greece because of the connection between Athens and Piraeus Port. the upgrade of the tourism offered by the transforming of regional airports. Now, looking forward, Greece infrastructure priorities will remain a strong transportation, will retain a strong transportation spin, but will be much more diverse compared to the past. Why? Because they are addressing critical climate change challenges. According to a recent study by PwC, domestic infrastructure requires an additional of 40 to 50 billion in investments in order to modernize and enhance key sectors. 50% of these investments refer to transportation, with 30% to railway and 18% to motorways, both pivotal for meeting the current high end standards of connectivity and safety. Now, the external future infrastructure agenda aligns with this country's priorities, featuring a series of very important projects such as the Egnatia Odos, the largest motorways, 900 kilometers in our country, first time privatized, and that will set the stage for upgrading the motorway to the latest standards of modern European motorways. North Axis of Creta, well known as VOA, is set to enhance road upgrade and safety, and also regional development on this island. Kasteli Airport is set to replace the existing airport in Greece, in Creta, which is the second largest airport, handling over 10 million passengers annually. The development of differentiated projects, like the Ellinico Integrated Resort Complex in the Athens Riviera, which is the largest waterfront development in Europe's history, which leverages tourism and entertainment at the same time. However, Greece is aligning this infrastructure strategy with climate change because under the National Recovery Resilience Fund, circa 7 billion has been allocated to green transition projects. Those projects are very important. Why? It has to do with the water management, 2.5 billion, with investment in flood control, investment in irrigation and modernization, investment in waste management, again, circa 2.5 billion euros, with advanced treatment facilities. And all this they're trying to reduce the landfill dependency, advanced desalination plants, the upgrade of the rail network that will enhance not only the national connectivity, but will reduce the environmental impact of the transportation. I have to say that the energy innovation agenda is enhanced by unique project like the one called Amphilochia that our group has been developing so far, a hydro pump storage, Greece's largest energy storage investment with a capacity of 700 megawatts, a project of high domestic added value and recognized by EU as a project of common interest, very important in order to set and enhance the grid stability and the grid flexibility as well. However, even traditional infrastructure with no direct environmental footprint can have environmental impact. All new transportation infrastructure I mentioned today are designed to be environmental friendly. Why? Because they reduce travel time, they reduce congestion, they invite more environmental friendly modes of transportation through an adequate charging system for electric vehicles. The airports, the energy consumption reduction is a strategic target. Last but not least, with tailwinds such as investment grade ratings, robust systemic banks, 70 billion of EU funding, the stars are aligned for our country, for Greece, to seize this historic opportunity for a brighter and, so to speak, a greener future. Building on this foundation, and us yet Terna has a pipeline of projects amounting to more than 10 billion in the medium term, its role becomes even more pivotal. With a very robust capital structure and enhanced access to capital, the group combines, I would say, excellence, innovation, deep commitment to excellence, and is very well positioned to spearhead Greece transformation. As we look ahead, this is not only just about infrastructure. It's about creating a legacy of progress, empowering local communities, and ensuring that Greece takes its right place among Europe leaders in modern and sustainable and green development. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you so much, Penelope. Thank you so much. That was very, very informative. And I go on to Antonis Mitsalis. Antonis, the executive director of OVAX Group. Antonis, can you share your view regarding the necessary evolution, or better say, transformation of the construction industry in the future?
Yes, I would like to start by thanking you for the invitation and the chance to speak among this panel of esteemed peers. Let me start by adding up on something that Mrs. Lazaridou said. The Greek construction sector completed all these projects in the past decade, having to deal with turbulence on all fronts. The projects which we co-financed needed refinancing. The risk of the country was huge. Technical issues of any kind were there for us to face. But anyway, we delivered. And I think that this is something that should be taken into account when somebody looks at the outlook of the Greek construction companies. If we achieved all these things in this very painful decade, I think that it is an indication of where we will go in the next year, so long as this cycle takes the necessary time in order for us not only to develop along with the Greek economy, but also to recover what we lost in this decade. We would have been larger groups, and we would be in a position to expand more aggressively outside of our country. Now we need to focus our resources on Greece because of the pipeline that we have ahead of us. As you said, the question was about the transformation of the sector. The sector is under transformation because it's expanding. It's getting bigger. So there is organic growth in all the companies, plus on the equity part, there is it is transactional because there is interest. I expect this to continue, but in parallel, we need to focus on some things that are core to our business, and that is to make sure that we that the resources are there for us to complete what is ahead of us. So we need to retain the very good quality people that we have in Greece. We need to attract talent, either Greek or not, from abroad. And another thing is we need to make this sector attractive again to young Greeks, not only engineers. The construction sites and the offices of Greek construction companies have people of all professions, from IT experts to software experts to lawyers, etc. We need, I think that there is room for our sector to be hot for labor.
I mean, that was really, really very informative overview, but can you now put this on a company level? How do you see AVAX coping with this need of change? That that, at least to me, that would be, you know, very, very interesting.
Okay. You know, as I said, we need the cycle to be big. We need to materialize on good margins and know that there will be funding for the long term. We take part of the responsibility for this because we also bring in investment. We need the stability that is here in order to see the future more in a more relaxed, let's say, way, optimistic. On a company level, what we want to do is to systematically, let's say, develop what I said about bringing in young people, and what the possibility that is given to us is to do what is something that is in our it's lively within AVAX to expand our capabilities, which in turn will allow for further investment to be made in our country.
Thank you very much, Antoni. I found that, you know, quite interesting. I hear the word funding. It's, dear friend, it's your turn, Piotr Mitkovsky. Well, if I had to speak about your professional accolades, probably I would be speaking for the next 5 minutes. I will limit myself to Managing Director for Central Eastern European, Greece, Turkey, Israel, BNP Paribas Group. And Piotr, I think that you know, you're someone who knows more than a thing about project financing, okay? And I would be really delighted to hear your views on the infrastructure activity in Greece as a foreigner.
Thanks, Yanni. Well, I think, you know, if I look at the room, I think the view of infra is very positive. The room is full and looks like it's a topic that brings few of us here. Listen, I will take my banker hat probably to say that for us, infrastructure is clearly one of the most dynamic, most vibrant sector today. It brings significant interest from international investors, from leading local players. We have quite a few of those on the panel today. It's probably fair to say that infrastructure at large, can debate what is the definition, but infrastructure at large, including energy, pretty much opened the Greek market to foreign investors. Why? If you somehow just look at a couple of data points, the infra spending was probably the single mostly affected by the crisis. So post-2009, for 10 years post-2009, on average, Greece was spending slightly above 1% of the GDP on infra compared to 1.8% for Europe. And historically, was obviously Greece was spending much more. So that 10 years created 15, 18 billion gap. And on the top of whatever additional expenditure that has to be done. So clearly that's a catch up, and that catch up brought a lot of investors. So I'm investment banker, so you know I'm obviously lead by league tables and deal logic. So when I'm looking at deal logic, back in 2020, there was a grand total of one infra deal in deal count. Again, we can discuss the definition, but we look forward since 2020, over 30 transactions, 15, 16 billion of total just in 2024. I'm looking to my right. Just 2024, 6 or 7 billion of infra transactions in country. So clearly, very, very active sector, and I think we have quite a few panelists going give a hand, you know, first-hand experience on that. Today, infrastructure, it's, you know, pretty much, we see basically capital inflows activity pretty much everywhere. Ports, airports, highways, energy networks, healthcare, digital infrastructure, you name it, there is significant deal inflow. Going forward, a lot of transactions and a lot of space for investment, and I can just name few of them. But if I look at conference agenda, I think we are talking about many others. There is 1.5 billion highway project in Crete, offshore wind farms, battery storage projects, various interconnects both within Greece and between Greece and neighboring countries, several data center projects. Penelope has mentioned Elinikon project, which, you know, it's amazing by the sheer size of it. It's indeed, you know, the largest urban redevelopment project, and it ticks, you know, all boxes in infraspace, tourism, real estate, roads, you know, front side, pretty much everything. I think the first phase, it's somewhere between 3 and 4 billion, if memory serves well, and that's only first phase of the project. So to answer your question in one word, I think we see infra as very active and kicking.
Thank you, Piotr. And I'm coming to the next question that I believe that everybody wants to hear your answer. BNP Paribas, 40 years or more in Greece. Greece about to get it full investment grade. Okay, so what are your plans after investment grade?
I don't think there's a banker that's born that's going to answer this question on stage. now, listen, seriously, as you said, we are active in Greece for the last 40 years, a little bit longer than that. So I think investment grade, in a sense, well, changes everything, but changes nothing. We just have more work. We just have more work. We just have more activity today. Return of investment grade brought new investors to the country. It's reshaping the expectation for the returns. It's reshaping expectations for the structure of the projects they're looking at. The people who were not looking at Greece because it was investment grade are now active, and we are happy to be working with them. Those are sovereign wealth funds, infrastructure funds, insurance companies. Looking forward, I think, you know, cost of funding is getting lower. Investment grade leads to the tighter spreads. Duration of the project expands. And, you know, let me finish maybe on a positive note to say that only for a while, Greek debt has been trading inside Italy. Recently, it's trading at par with another big European country, France. So I think we are a big way from the skyrocket levels that were there still, you know, a few years ago. So I think investment grade is very positive for the country, for us, and for our clients.
A very positive signal, a very positive omen. And I go to George Milonogiannis, a highly esteemed colleague and a businessman, chairman of the board of directors of Elacto. George, as both a lawyer and a businessman, do you believe that the European financial crisis may have an adverse effect on the Greek investment projects?
Does it work? Can you hear me? Thank you for your kind words and the introduction. And allow me to say, first of all, to thank you for Mr. Bornozis for giving me the opportunity to communicate with a prominent audience for another time. And coming to your query, Yanis, I would like to make first, or to try to approach the European crisis from a legal, let's say, perspective. It goes without saying that the wars that the deglobalization in the sense of the problems that capital's circulation has become more and more difficult, mainly for capitals coming from the eastern part of the globe. And now I had in mind to discuss with you the overregulation produced within the European Union against the deregulation that should be a must for avoiding, or at least for mitigating, the European crisis that I'm very much afraid that it's on board. So what we experience in the European Union is a constant introduction of new obligations and commitments for business and households that do not promote the values of the European spirits. Values, don't take me wrong, that we are all proud. However, such emphasis concerning the promotion of European spirit may become a threat for the European growth. And I will try to become more specific on that. We have the famous ESG. Of course, I have nothing against it. I participate in the Industrials Confederation, in the ESG team. However, supporting the ESG by bulk of legislation, on one hand, reflects the determination of the European Union to transform businesses from purely driven by profit into entities that combine profit-making with social responsibility, but at what cost? I'm not sure if economists have ever quantified the impact in terms of money, the impact of the overregulation. I cannot imagine that anybody has a different opinion on that. The overregulation produced by the European Union on the cost of enterprises. Another example is the GDPR. We all know this is a legislation on data protection, a positive step, generally speaking, but such regulation should not lead to operational barriers for businesses. Being a lawyer, I'm very happy because my turnover is increasing, but I'm quite sure that the burden for enterprises created by these regulations, it's an issue that I'm not sure that we have discussed within the European Union. A third issue, we all know and we all discuss about artificial intelligence. And what the first reaction of the European Union was is to discuss about the regulations that should be introduced in order to protect the European Union for the risk of human individuality and all this kind of thing. May I use a term which I don't know if it exists in English? It's some kind of technophobia. Of technological phobia. I'm not sure if I'm there. Giving priority to these values through restrictive regulations on entrepreneurship provides a strong competitive advantage for the non-EU economies. We know that these economies are far less concerned by such principles. I had recently attended the Economist Forum in Thessaloniki, and Mr. Martin Schulz, the forum president of the European Parliament, said, and I quote, that Europe risks always being first with the values of Aristotle and the genius of Beethoven, but lasting economic growth. This statement captures the dramatic imbalance between fostering desirable values and driving economic development. So, coming to the heart of the question, it is impossible to discuss about the future and the growth of infrastructure without considering the EU's macroeconomic environment. Infrastructure projects require significant capital investment, which is only feasible in a growth-oriented context. For Greece, the access to European funds of any form, under, no matter what the name is behind, is a condition sine qua non for the infrastructure development. If the EU focuses mainly on imposing restrictions on its economic environment without understanding the broader global stage, it risks pushing all member states into recession. And we all know that recession enhances populist narrations, advocating for state autonomy, and further destabilizing the European integrity. it's, we all know that France has entered some, or we're very much afraid that it's going to enter a recession. Germany's industry is facing industrial challenges. I don't say that for all European problems, overregulation is the reason behind. However, what I said before is very important. I'm not sure if we have made a serious assessment on this overregulation on the life and on the microeconomics of the industry. Allow me to end up with an ancient Aesopian warning. While our houses are setting fire, we are busy singing. So I hope this will not become a tragic reality for Europe and for Greece.
Thank you, George. Well, hopefully, at least for now, our home is not on fire, but there are nearby areas that, you know, they are ablaze, one of them being Ukraine, and we see increased defense budgets. I would like to capitalize on your experience as a defense procurement specialist, and do you see the increase in defense budgets affecting the investment in infrastructure projects or not?
You see, it may affect in a dual manner. Prima facie, spending and coming to Greece, spending a lot of money for the procurement of defense material results to a decrease of the spending for infrastructure, for any... this is the first thing that everybody may understand. However, in defense, there is a side effect. For example, the Greek industry, and we have, okay, we do not manufacture F-16 or Eurofighters or Rafales. However, we have a Greek industry which may support the procurements, the armament support procurements. Coming to infrastructure, I believe that for the infrastructure, there is an opportunity behind. Because what Mr. Mietkovic, have the same problems with my name. So, mentioned before is that we have ports, airports, highways, all this infrastructure, if it should take into consideration defense, there is a port with a dual role, an airport serving military and civilian needs. So, it could be an opportunity, no matter how heretic it sounds.
Sounds very interesting. And I'm moving on to Haris Sahimi, CEO, Athens Water and Sewage Company. Hari, our panel talks about the future and the climate issue. And we've heard, you know, many things about it. And whether you call it a crisis or not, it is enough. It is our future, one way or the other. How do you see that affecting the water industry in Greece? Because we hear very many things, and not only at the press. Dear friend, floor is yours.
Thank you, Yanni. The situation is not that great in terms of water and the issues that the climate crisis has brought upon us. So, and this is important for Greece, because you need water for agriculture. And if tourists understand that there's no water at the islands or even in Athens, they won't come to visit. Okay, so we think of water, what an easy thing, you to open your tap and water flows. But in this case, it is critical, but there are plans to do something about that. And the thing is that these plans need investments, and investments are going to move forward. So let me explain to you what we mean. Regarding the capital, regarding Athens, we have a plan to connect to another big aqueduct through a 30-kilometer tunnel that will bring water from that larger aqueduct, which has about five times the capacity of all of our reservoirs together combined. Just to give you an idea, we are missing about 200 million cubic meters of water every year for the last few years. In that reservoir, there are about 3.5 billion cubic meters of water flowing every year. So we won't take a lot of that water, but we need only a part of that, so it's a straightforward project. But it costs 500 million euros. But it has to be done, it will be done. We're looking at other options, groundwater solutions. We're looking at desalination, including desalination from brackish water. But if you do desalination, you are stuck with a high cost. The cost per cubic meter, if you get it from the reservoir, the add-on reservoir, is about 15 cents per cubic meter. If you do desalination, you're looking at about 85 cents per cubic meter. And then you are stuck with that cost at the point where you want to keep prices lower for all the people in Greece. And we're using even unconventional sources, including an aqueduct, an old aqueduct. The New York Times 2 days ago wrote an article about the Hadrian's aqueduct, and it's going to add a little bit more water to the system, but we will take anything at this stage. Let's look at the same thing with the islands and what's happening with the islands. Obviously, their desalination makes much more sense, but again, you cannot do desalination just island by island. You have to have a bigger perspective. You have to have a bigger plan. You have to figure out if there are possibly even other ways to bring water to fill the reservoirs that are in some of these islands and are empty right now. So I applaud, actually, in this case, the government, because they're pushing forward a new law to merge the 400 individual water companies that are in Greece into a lesser amount of companies. If you ask me, I would go for 11, one for each region of Greece. But I think in the interim, it's going to be more than that. And we should push for this to happen as soon as possible, because without planning, without economies of scale, the problems may not be solved.
Thank you, Harry. I mean, I hear all these great projects, but I mean, I feel like asking, how are you to finance all these projects? It all boils down to money, isn't it?
It is a lot of money. I mentioned the 500 million euros that the state has to spend for that big project to deal with drought in Athens. EIDAP in itself has a 2.5 billion budget over the next 10 years for a variety of projects. And the rest of Greece has, according to the Minister of Energy and Environment, 6 billion euros of projects that need to be done to deal with the issue of drought and deal with the issue of water resilience in the face of the water crisis and the climate crisis. But let me tell you a little bit about the EIDAP projects and give you a sense about the financing. About 1 billion of those projects have to do with wastewater services in Eastern Attica, and 90% of that is financed directly by the European Union. There's going to be a 300 million project, roughly there. We expect it to be in Psyttalia, which is the second largest wastewater treatment plant in Europe. And there we need to comply with the latest EU guidelines and move to fourth level treatment of wastewater. And that's a complex project. We're going to produce recycled water. We're going to go net zero, both on carbon and energy, and that's why it becomes that expensive. We're spending much more money on wastewater resilience in the rest of Attica and other water networks. For example, to be able to serve the Elliniko project, we have to bring more water to the southern part of Athens. So that's another roughly 50 million euro project that we're moving forward with. And let's not leave out of the equation the 300 million that we're going to be spending on smart meters over the next 10 years. So how will we get all the money? I already mentioned the EU. We're working very closely with EIB, and EIB is going to select. They're looking at all of our projects. There are about 180 individual projects. They're looking at all the projects to figure out which are the ones that they're going to invest in and do that. And then the other thing that's very important and has changed, this is real news, we're hoping that it's going to arrive at some point, and it is here, is the fact that there is a regulator. And the regulatory framework works the same way as the energy regulatory framework. What that means that a lot of these projects are going to be financed by higher tariffs. Obviously, the important thing is to get as many grants as possible so you don't increase the tariffs, and to have the bigger companies so that you can have the economies of scale. But I applaud the fact that there is a new regulator, because that also, especially for a company like ours, which is a listed company in the Athens Stock Exchange, the investors need to have rules. And for the first time, there are rules, and based on those rules, they can invest in the company. So there are many ways in which you can actually invest in the water industry. There are a lot of things that are going to be happening in this industry over the next several years. And there are companies in Greece, I mean, all the people here will deal with that. We'll need lawyers, we'll need people to construct the projects, we'll need people to finance the projects, we'll need people to manage the projects. And many, many of you in this room here, there are going to be a lot of opportunities either to help with these projects or to invest in the projects or the companies.
Thank you very much, Harry. I heard RAB-based financing. That's very, very interesting. And I'm moving on. Last but not least, Manos Sigalas. Manos is the Senior Vice President and Managing Director for Europe for Heli International. As Harry said, the project manager behind everything, or almost everything. So, Mano, Heli International is a U.S. project management firm with global operations and is also involved with the delivery of major projects in Greece. As we said, what's your outlook regarding the country's infrastructure sector? And are there any new major projects to watch? Why?
Hello? Okay. Thank you, Yanni. Good morning, everyone. Echoing the remarks of fellow panelists, it needs to be recognized that during this decade, circumstances for the infrastructure sector have evolved to be exceptionally promising. And no doubt, Yanni and all, the outlook remains to be extremely positive. We have projects of international caliber, I would say of global caliber, that are currently under full swing implementation, projects such as the Lincoln, the Athens Metro, the new international airport of Heraklion, Castellon Crete, the Stavros Niarchos Foundation Health Initiative, just to name a few. There are many more. For reference, just in the Athens region alone, we have a capital expenditure program in excess of 8 billion currently underway. But also we have a turbocharged pipeline of projects across the country that span, as it was mentioned, all sectors, infrastructure, buildings, energy, and technology data centers. So overall, the sheer size, the quality, and the time horizon of Greece's backlog of the project portfolio provides a solid base for growth, but also something that we can build on to seize opportunities in the future. So are we sitting only on a bed of roses? Absolutely not. Indeed, there are challenges to be addressed, but challenges will continue to evolve amid evolving global circumstances. And the name of the game on the ground remains to be execution. And a key challenge, as it has been mentioned, is the limitations of the market to be able to cope with the demanding scope and timely deliver all those projects. Of course, that's a nice problem, arguably, to have. The market participants have recognized that, and each one in their respective fields of activity is taking steps to enhance their managerial and execution capabilities on the ground. Now, new projects to watch out for. Again, there are many fellow panelists and all the Greek contracting groups have some, I would say, distinctive projects and very exciting projects to deliver in their portfolios. And as a side note, I would also add that we should view each project, be it big or small, as a piece of the puzzle that contributes to the big picture of the country as an investment destination. Now, if I have to name one that did not appear in the headlines for all these years, but has now matured, it's the flagship project for Greece's tourism, a major infrastructure project, and that is the planned expansion of the Athens International Airport, a circa 1 billion US investment program that will increase the capacity of the Athens International Airport up to 40 million passengers per year. And based on publicly available information, this project is taxing and ready to take off in 2025.
Thank you, Mano. Last question, slightly more provocative. Which are some opportunities that you discern in your line of business? And specifically, are there any areas that Greece's know-how in the infrastructure space can be exported and scaled up internationally?
The answer is absolutely. I have 9 seconds. I will use a bit more time. As far as our activities are concerned, there are many opportunities across the sector, across the value chain of the industry. But as far as our activities are concerned, we remain focused on certain broader strategic objectives. Going fast, one is to accumulate know-how in Greece and in our Athens office from our pan-European portfolio of projects and develop a new generation of professionals with exportable skills and a different mindset, a global mindset. Two, supporting Greek companies, engineering and contracting companies, venturing internationally. And this is also something that George mentioned about defense projects. Of course, Greece and Greek firms have a role to play in the projects that are intermodal, defense-driven transportation projects along the vertical corridor, connecting Greece, Bulgaria, Romania, Moldova, and Ukraine. And of course, Greek firms have a role to play in the future in Ukraine's reconstruction. And third, we also see an opportunity to utilize talent available in Greece in the technology sector, bring together, bridge the startup ecosystem in Greece with the infrastructure world, and develop sector-focused applications, innovative technological AI-powered applications that can address specific pain points in the delivery of projects. And if we're successful, this can be highly exportable and scalable in the future.
Thank you, Mano. We have reached the end. I mean, just by means of a small wrap-up, environment and environmental projects come into play. Yes, we do have the companies to undertake all these projects. Yes, we do have the financiers, and not only the Greek ones, we have also international financiers. Environmental projects, including water, and yes, we do have also the specialists to cater for your needs. Thank you, Penelope. Thank you, Antoni, Piotr, George, Harry, and Manos. Thank you all. Have a nice day. See you all next year at Capital Link. Okay, have a great day. God bless.